Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yes, that's right. We're back for this week in Survivor episode number 12. I'm Rob Cesternino here to cover everything going on here as we wrap out episode number 12 for the week. And then we have the wiggle room on this week in Survivor, of course, here with us, the man who created the This Week in Survivor history quiz, the great Jordan Kalish is here. Jordan, how are you?
Doing well. I had a good week. I thought it was a pretty fun episode of Survivor, so I'm hanging in there.
Why? What happened on your week?
Nothing really interesting.
Okay, you made it sound like it was a really good week.
Did I?
Yeah,
I thought I was downplaying the week. I don't know. It was fine. I worked. I coached and lost a baseball game, and that's about it.
Okay.
We had a fun viewing party with the Pizza and Beer Alliance in New York, which but that's a common occurrence. So.
Okay. Well, maybe you had such a good week because you were in anticipation for our guest on This Week in Survivor. She is the co-owner of the RHAP B&B. You can hear her on a bunch of different Rehappa podcasts. The great Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I'm good. It sounds like Jordan really had a crazy week compared to me. My fire alarm, the battery died, so it beeped at me for a while.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. Oh my God. Here's what I don't understand. What's the deal with fire alarms? No, like it just continues to beep at you and you can't turn it off. So now it's sitting on my desk off instead of on. So anyway, that was the ordeal in my world this week.
Okay. All right. Well, Liana, please practice fire safety.
Okay. I'll plug it back in afterwards. I promise.
Okay.
Survivor is like a broken fire alarm.
How so?
It beeps at you constantly. Ream is like a broken fire alarm.
Dude.
That would be great.
You try to change my battery, okay?
Imagine if like CBS.com came out with like Ream fire alarms that just yelled dude at you if your house is on fire. Fire represents life, but not in this case.
Listen, dude, the house is on fire. Get out. Get out, dude. Listen, bro. Yeah. All right. Liana Boris is here, and we're very excited to catch up with Liana. Of course, you can hear Liana this weekend on the RHAP B&B with special guest host, the Tabulator, Kurt Clark, and my co-host on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, Akiva Winokur.
That's right. Yes. We, talk about this episode. I know we're going to get into a little bit of it here, but, you know, don't worry. Unless we don't talk about too much. Hopefully there won't be too much overlap unless reading reviews of the Ron Clark story count as talking about this episode. I think we'll be okay.
That was my whole quiz this week. What am I going to do?
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's a This Week in Ron Clark history, and then it'll be questions from the movie.
All right. Well, we have had some great podcasts this past couple of days where we had Dominic and Kellen from Ghost Island on together with me on the recap. And then, of course, the traditional Bryce Isaiah feedback show. We got into that on Friday afternoon, and that's up now on robhasawebsite.com. Wiggle Room. Still to come here on the episode 12 batch of podcasts. But Liana, how are you feeling now after episode number 12? Only one more regular week in the finale left to go.
Yeah, so it's interesting looking forward to the finale, not like in a, I mean, maybe in a positive way, but just like thinking about it, because what is going to happen with the Island of Extinction? I just still don't know exactly when the person is going to come back. How exactly is this going to work? What is going to be the reaction to the person who comes back from the edge of extinction? How might that person fare if they do make it to the end? I feel like there are so many unanswered questions, and we're really really at this precipice before we get there of just utter confusion. It just seems like right now this is sort of the like bastard child of Survivor, and I'm like not quite sure exactly how it's going to play out.
Hey, all survivors are bastards in their parents' eyes.
I think it's also going to be wild when we get the massive Edge of Extinction exodus, Liana.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So when the baseball team that is the jury slash the Island of Extinction residents, like, so they now all get to go to Ponderosa. Does the island get abandoned?
Right.
The sole person comes back in.
I think that we're going to get a scene where everybody that doesn't get back into the game is going to, like, you know, collect their stuff. And, you know, Reem is going to have a torch like, listen, Ship, you were a good friend here for 36 days, but now I'm going to light you on fire. Listen, dude, you're on fire. You're on fire. Beep, 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 bro.
evacuate the island. Yeah. Are they going to get them memorialized?
Yeah. I don't know.
It would be a really cool challenge to return. What if it's like hand on a hard idol, but they all have to hold on to like the mast, like just like the post where the mast is on, like they didn't raise the thing the whole time. And now they just can't take their hand off of it until somebody re-enters the game.
I don't know how you're going to do that with like 11 people.
They all just have to stand around a circle, get really close. I'm sure Reem and Wardog will love being right next to each other.
That's like one of those like radio show contests where everybody like has their hand on a car and like the last person to be holding onto the car wins the car.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
And that's fine. I mean, they have all the time in the world to do that. So
they could start the challenge like a day before someone actually has to go back in.
Yeah. Well, why not? The biggest problem, I think, is just that Jeff's not going to stand there for, you know, 3 days while somebody's trying to get back in the game. Okay. Liana, so Ron Clark is out. I know you've been tracking the new Ron Clark rule book all season long. What's your thoughts on the end of Ron Clark pending not returning from the Edge of Extinction?
Well, I think the first thing that stands out to me is the whole family visit thing that has happened where he uses earlier in the season, let's just all make it to the family visit. And then he makes it to the family visit and is promptly voted out.
Well, everybody honored their deal to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's
it's
just
totally
make
fitting.
It to the family visit. Won't that be nice? We just get to the family visit and then I won't give you your visit with your loved ones. You can see them though. Only Gavin and Julie.
I'm sure they remembered that. They were like, okay, we just have to keep Ron until the family visit. Then we're allowed to vote him out. No breaking deals here.
Yeah. This Ron line really made me laugh, though, when he's talking about his facial hair and he's asking Lloyd if he likes it just at the end of this.
Yeah, facial hair. You like it? Aurora said you like it. These are my friends.
These are my friends.
I have never loved Ron Clark more than that singular line. It was so good. And he's just so, these are my friends. It's so endearing to Ron in that moment. Just that
these
line.
These are my friends.
Yes, everything else after that, not so much. But like that part is really, really great.
Yeah, I think, Leon, one of the great things to me about Ron Clark was that there were really like two different Ron Clarks where he was like super nice Ron Clark in like the group setting of like saying to everybody, I love comma. These are my friends. And wouldn't it be nice? We'll all get to the loved ones visit. We can just relax. And then the confessional Ron Clark was super duper shady and like very like cutting in all of his confessional remarks.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know who the, you know, cutting confessional Ron Clark is, but I feel like the happy-go-lucky Ron Clark is giving me a little bit of like Mr. Mackey from South Park. Like, let's all be friends, okay? Like, idols are bad, okay? That's like sort of what I get from him. And then the cutthroat one, I don't know what that is. Maybe that's a real Ron Clark.
Yeah, I don't know who the true Ron Clark is, but yeah, he was very fun to watch the two Ron Clarks. Which one shows up in the movie?
Oh, that's a good question. I haven't actually watched it, which is probably something I should do. One thing that did come to light through the B&B is there's some milk chugging that happens to like motivate students or something. So I don't know which Ron would have chugged the milk. But yeah, I'm not entirely sure.
Is Lloyd in the movie?
Okay, that was my question because hello, Ron's husband. Yeah, Lloyd can be in a movie anytime. I would gladly watch that movie. But we think Kirk Clark decided that potentially it had happened before the movie was before they maybe got married. So we're not entirely sure.
Yeah, from what I understand, I think that the movie takes certain liberties with the story that may not have been historically accurate.
What? That never happens in movies. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Liana, I wanted to ask you, where do you come down on the great Rick Devins debate of 2019? Are you in on Rick Devins? Do you stan Rick Devins? Or is Rick Devins your ops?
Okay, I knew I was going to get this question because this is like the hot debate of the week. I think you talked
really on Reddit. Almost every single thread right now is I love Rick Devins or I hate Rick Devins. Everybody is way in or way out on Rick Devins. I know that young Rick Devins is very, very high on future Jordan Kalish.
Hashtag Stan.
That's right. Yeah, I don't, you know, mini Rick Devins. I don't want to, you know, step on your toes or anything. I loved this concept, though, that you talked about, Rob, of the Rick Devins Rorschach test. Like, what
not
do you
the Rorschach
see?
Test. That's probably a new B&B game.
Prepping it for next week. But it's definitely, to me, I thought like, oh, this is Laurel Yanni, the yellow, gold, black, blue, because it does seem to be so polarizing. It's like one or the other, and there's nothing in between. Which for me, as someone who feels like I fall in between, like I can appreciate Rick Devins for the entertainment that he brings to TV. I don't really get the severe hatred of Rick. Like, I guess I don't really know exactly what he's doing that garners like that level of like, oh, I can't stand Rick, his showmanship. But on the other hand, he's not super appealing. Oh my gosh, Rick Devins is the best character ever. So I think for me, I'm entertained by him, and especially his blasting of Ron and Julie at that tribal. I was all about that because in terms of the emotions that are brought out on reality TV shows, you know, the extreme emotions are always so much fun, and anger is my personal favorite. So the fact that he just really went after them, that was really great, I thought, in this episode.
Yes.
Peace, bro.
Peace, bro. And then I was just going to say the clapping at the end when he didn't even vote for Ron to go. So it's like, I love him. I find him entertaining at the same time. Like, you're such a doofus.
Liana, is it possible? Did he know more than the episode led on in terms of like where the votes were ultimately going? Like, did somebody have a conversation with him of like, hey, if you have an advantage, you should play it tonight? Like, was somebody sort of like really invested in seeing Ron go where, I mean, he still cast his vote for Aurora. So I think that would take her potentially out of the mix. But he did seem like not shocked that the votes were coming for Ron and was really delighted.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I was trying to sort of put all of this together. And I think the conversation that we saw with Victoria and Lauren and then Aurora, I think that happened during that happens later in the episode, but I think that actually happened during the reward. So I think that there was sort of a plan between the women to say, okay, look, we're definitely voting out Rick. However, if he does have an idol, we need a contingency plan. So I don't think because of that they were really in cahoots with Rick and would have let him know. I don't know. We'd have to go back and look exactly at the shot because Rick still voted for Aurora. Maybe that was a, like, just in case it is okay. But I don't know. He seemed to believe Ron Clark also with the whole menu thing, at least in his confessional. That's the way it sounded.
Yeah. I just wonder if those might have been cut where he was talking about how, you know, that, this is such a great gift that Ron gave me. And then, you know, followed it up by, or it could be, you know, complete bupkis. I guess we'll have to find out, because he did play the fake advantage menu first. And I did feel like he was almost like one of these, like, you know, trial lawyers that you see in a movie, where he is like asking a set of questions, and then when he gets the answer that like the person thinks they got one over on him, he ends up like turning around with like a complete, like, out of nowhere point. Because I mean, there's just the delivery, you know, did seem like he rehearsed this.
Except
where he came back around and then got the idol out. So
did you order the code, Ron?
I did not. One of the other really fun Rick Devens moments that I haven't seen talked about a lot anywhere was when Rick found the clue to the advantage.
Oh, I don't even need it to be a secret. I'm gonna go get it right now. No, I won't.
This was him doing his best Gollum impression. Like, I needs the idols. No, you must wait for the idols. Like, that was the first thing that popped into my head in that moment. It's such a good clip.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to go right in there. I'm going to march in there. And I'm just going to go grab the... No, that is not a good idea.
It was like an out loud voiceover. It was great.
This is a really fun, and I really appreciate what Rick Devens is bringing to the show. I understand why people aren't in on him, but for me, he's bringing a lot of entertainment to this show, and I can't say that for the rest of the other castaways that are out there on the main island.
I agree. I've loved him the whole season, and I think part of the backlash against him is that people that aren't really loving him are sort of annoyed by the fact that so many people are entertained and do love him. I mean, look, I've said it before where I don't think that Rick Devens is playing the best game of everybody left. I think that's Victoria. But as far as entertainment on the show, I mean, I think they're downplaying so much of what Victoria is doing, which I think is a shame, because she is the one who has been in on every vote. Even though she didn't vote for Ron in this episode, she clearly knew what was going on. With Rick, we don't know if he knew.
What do you mean
the
that
actual plan.
They're downplaying what Victoria is doing? I think that
she's not getting as much of an edit for someone who has been so instrumental on every single vote.
Yeah, but do you feel like that they're trying to hide her, or do you feel like that there's just like a not great footage? Because I always operate under the assumption that Survivor, if they have great footage, they're not going to leave that on the cutting room floor. So if they have, you know, really great confessionals of a person talking about what they're doing, I don't know why they would hide that. It doesn't make any sense why they wouldn't want to put the best stuff in the show.
Well, no, I mean, I think that, though, then wouldn't they have included the War Dog versus Reem segment from The Edge of Extinction?
That's fair. That's the best case so far of that they don't include the best stuff on the show when they leave the War Dog versus Reem on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, I think maybe, like, I think almost every scene that we have gotten were Aurora. Sorry, not were Aurora, were Victoria. Did I say Victoria or Aurora before? Because I think you said Victoria. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, I think every scene where we have seen Victoria highlighted has been great. I think she's a very unique character, but I also think part of what makes her so unique is that she's a subtle character. So I think some of her confessionals have been really good, but maybe there just isn't the amount of content that we have with somebody like Rick. And again, I'm a huge Rick fan, so it's not any, you know, slight against him. I just think strategically she's been in on every vote, and she's never, you know, been in the minority.
Yeah, but I feel like that you could play a game that's under the radar, but you can also be narrating what's happening in the show. It doesn't necessarily mean, oh, well, her game is under the radar, so we're not seeing her confessionals where she's breaking down everything that's happening in the game.
No, I think that's a good point.
Well, if you like subtle players, I have a character for you. His name is Brett from Samoa, and he was very subtle.
Is that Mike Tyson? Isn't he Mike Tyson?
Yeah, I think it's the same person. Okay. I don't know. It's interesting because you think about the major characters that are left, and obviously Rick Devens is the major character remaining on the main island. And then there's sort of these other like supporting characters that are there. And I think some of the qualms with, oh, Rick Devens is getting all this airtime and getting all this edit is then there's no one else to really turn to because everyone else is, you know, seemingly has less of an edit to them. And I know less about their story. And I really don't, in comparison, know that much about the other people that are left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do think that that's a big factor in terms of like whatever Rick Devens backlash that there is, where he is the person who is the outsider. All the other people are working against him. But we are seeing the most of his story when he is clearly on the outs strategically in the game, where it makes it feel like that his story is more important to the season than the story of the people who are actually navigating where this thing is going.
Do you think he needs to be the Mike Holloway in order to win?
Like to win out? You mean like win the...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he just seems to be standing out, especially with the way that the jury is responding to him. I mean, you can't help if you're a person on the other side and see the type of responses that he's getting and think, oh, yeah, I should definitely let this person go to the end with me. But he very much reminds me a little bit in the edit of like Ben Driebergen.
Yes. And,
but the problem is that there's no Chrissy in contrast there, or, you know, well, even Ryan, right?
Yes.
Like, I just, who's the other person?
Well, that Ben is you know, and that name has been thrown around a lot because everybody is trying to get Ben out of the game, and he is, you know, finding all of these idols in his season. But I think there were a lot of other people that were in that season where when we get to the final five, that everybody, you know, has a little bit of a shot mm-hmm. to win the game. I mean, don't forget about you have Devin Pinto, who was mm-hmm. there, who a lot of people thought that he could win the game. You had Ryan. You have Chrissy. Dr. Mike is there, too. And so you had a lot of people that you and, you know, Lauren Rimmer was still there, I think, at the final seven. And there was a lot of people that you felt like, well, this is really anybody's game. But Ben was the person. This doesn't necessarily feel that same way. So you have that with Rick Devens, where he has the Ben Driebergen thing, but that he also is great in the confessional and these little scenes on the fly. So he also, I think, has a bit of Cochran in him, who is another person that has, you know, had his own share of backlash against people, where he's a polarizing character. People love seeing him on the show, and it's like, oh my God, enough of Cochran. Stop, you know, shoving him down our throats, that we have to see him. Why does he have so many confessionals? So Rick is sort of the Ben Driebergen mixed with Cochran, and depending on your mileage on those types of characters, that's really I think why everybody's so polarized.
What a love child that would be. I mean, I guess it is. It's Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I go back to the other people and think about what are their narratives throughout this season. What is Gavin's narrative? And the only thing I can still remember about Gavin is that he voted out his best friend and he got married 2 days. And he got married 2 days before Survivor. Like, those are the two things I know about Gavin.
Yeah. It also might be a factor that, you know, we're seeing a lot of Rick Devens, and it also might be that the other people who are in the game may not be giving them the best confessionals to use also, where mm-hmm. that not everybody that's left in the final six really, you know, pops off the screen when they're giving their, you know, different quotes or, you know, analysis of what's going on. So they lean on Devens a lot. And that might also be contributing to what's going on. Bring in a voicemail that we didn't get to a lot of the voicemails that were from the feedback show with Bryce. Let me bring in this question that is from Lauren, and she wants to ask a question about what's going on the Edge of Extinction.
Hi, Rob and Bryce. This is Lauren, first-time caller, long-time listener. At the last Tribal Council, we saw Reem wearing the sail from the Edge of Extinction as an article of clothing. As someone with a fabulous fashion sense, what item for the island would the Purple Pants Badass wear?
Okay. All right. Liana, do you have any thoughts on Reem wearing the sail?
Well, first of all, sorry, Lauren, you didn't get Bryce to answer this question, but I, as someone currently wearing an oversized sriracha t-shirt and like tiny shorts, I will do my best to answer this question. So Reem completely taking over all of the items at the Edge of Extinction is, I think, one of my favorite things. Like, she has just co-opted the sale to be her own clothing. She's now bringing it around everywhere because this one, unless it got really dirty, it's gray, which is different than the white one that she was wearing earlier. So somehow she's found more fabric out there, and I'm totally here for it.
Listen, I got here first. Everything on this island is mine. I claimed it, okay? I've got the sale, and it's mine, and it doesn't mean I'm raising the sale because I'm never, ever leaving this island, okay?
Have you ever seen Pirates of the Caribbean where, like, the crew of Davy Jones, like the pirate, his crew becomes like part of the ship? I think this is a case of Reem becoming part of the Edge. Like, they all turn into these fish, and I think Reem is becoming like an Edge of Extinction creature. And I think even when they kick them off, like when after the challenge, I don't think Reem is leaving the Edge of Extinction. I think she lives there now.
Well, yeah. It's like, all right, Reem, time
part
to go.
Crew, part of the Edge.
Listen, dude, I'm never leaving. I can't. I have to stay here forever.
I have become part of the island. This is a symbiotic relationship. We need each other.
You know
she
what?
She leaves and all the trees start to die.
Yeah.
Go on without me. I'll be fine.
Well, I'm pretty sure she even said, it was in the secret scene that we were talking about earlier with Reem and Wardog, and I think she said something to the extent of, like, this might as well be my island because I was here first. And so I think really it is. She's co-opted this island. It is Reem's island.
Yeah.
She's going to leave, and you're going to hear, like, a collective, like, wail from all the wildlife and the trees. It's just going to go, lame. And then everything's just going to die on the island.
A haunted island. Liana, do you like this idea for a future season of Survivor? Survivor Reem Island, where then the contestants that every episode, somebody gets sent to go to Reem Island, and she gives them a reaming. But then there's also the opportunity that they can play for, like, listen, dude, all right, you want this advantage or what? All right, we're going to play a game, okay? There's three sales, and one of them has an advantage over. The other two is a bowl of rice that you're going to go and then go up the steps and go fill up and get my dinner.
So is this like Ghost Island esque where, you know, you have to like play a game?
Yes,
but it's
you have
all
to play Reem's game. Yeah,
it's a Reem.
Where on Ghost Island you said like, okay, this is play a game. If I open this, you have to like read the clue. No, Reem is just there, and then she just like chews you out like she did to Wardog in the whole time that you're there.
Yeah. Oh, I would definitely be here for that twist. Like I said, the emotion that I get most excited about on reality TV is anger. And so Reem just like going after some of these poor contestants that are out there really, I think, would make it that much better. I mean, that if you're going to bring back a Ghost Island-esque twist, I think this is definitely the way to do it.
Yeah.
The buff is just like the logo for the season is just Reem's face with a chat bubble that says, dude.
It's a silhouette. But come on. It'd be tacky to have her face on the buff.
We're classy here.
Yes. This was her with Wardog. I can't get enough of this.
Yeah.
Same to you this evening, but you can bet your rear end you're going to get it tomorrow from me. Just so you know. Set expectations.
I'm glad you're still bitter, Reem. I'm not bitter at all.
No, Wardog. I'm not bitter. I think that you're a jerk. I don't have the energy to deal with fake BS. If I got a beef with you, I can't be fake about it. We're oil and water, so why are you even sitting next to me? Water's over there. Roll on over to it.
She's literally part of the island, and she's saying that Wardog is part of the water. He's off the island.
We're oil and water. This is where the oil goes. You go over there in the water. Sleep in the ocean.
Yeah, telling Wardog to go sleep in the ocean. Go back to the ocean.
Have you seen me in these challenges? I can't even swim. How am I going to go sleep in the ocean?
Dude, we don't have room for you on this island. Get out of here.
I'm allowed to be here. I got here, and this is where I'm supposed to be.
dude, I don't have the energy for this BS right now. I got beef with you. Get out. I don't want you. Yeah, that's so good. Her interacting with people. And I think what really makes this even better is then what happens to Ron Clark at the end of this episode. Yeah. Just like, no hard, it's just a game.
It's night and day. Ron Clark is like, he is like doing his penance of like, I have sinned. I have been a bad boy in this game. And Reem forgives him.
I've heard a lot of lovely things about you. I really have.
I've lied.
Everybody loves you.
I've lied.
It's a game. Everybody's a liar.
Well, I guess she doesn't have any beef with
Ron. Get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah. Ron Clark is obviously water. He can, or oil. He can stay.
You're oil, Ron. You can stay. You're like vinegar. You pair well with me.
That's another future season. Survivor oil versus water. Like, who's
versus
the water?
Vinegar.
Who's the versus vinegar. Yeah, this is perfect.
Yeah. That's the island with the Reem Island twist. The season with the Reem Island twist. I like it.
This group of people, they're oil. They're slippery. They slide through life. Nothing sticks to them. They have no friction whatsoever. These people are vinegar. They're bitter.
Rub people the wrong way. Can't catch any flies. With this tribe.
And these people, they're water. They move in the flow state. Whatever container they're in, they move to fill it.
No. Keith Sowell is not going to be on the water tribe, right?
No. Come on, God. Okay. Let's see. Anything else from the episode? Let me give you a piece of strategy moving forward. And let's see. This was another question that we didn't get to with Bryce. And let's go back to Karen from the Love You Bay Area. Had this question.
Hi, Robin Bryce. This is Karen from the Love You Bay Area. Loving that I'm going to hear you two talking soon. I'm wondering about the situation with Lauren's idol, because usually the six is the last time you can play an idol. But we are presuming that it's going to go from six down to five and back up to six again. So I wonder if there's some other deal with her idol, or she's going to think this is the last time she can use it, but can then use it again. Anyway, love to hear your thoughts about that.
Okay. Liana, what's going to be the deal with the idol? Now, you can play the idol till five, right?
Five, yeah.
Yeah, so she'll be good for this one, but then somebody's going to come back. But I don't know if they don't know when they're going to come back. Is that going to throw her off?
Well, so they know it's going to happen at some point in time. So they can probably deduce it's not going to be at the final three, but I don't know. You never know. Maybe not at the final four, since now they know about the final fire making challenge. So maybe you could think, oh, they might come back in at the last time you could play your idol. But it's so confusing because you have to go down to, like, do you go down to final four and then would go back up to final five? Oh my gosh. See, this is what makes this twist so confusing about exactly what time they're going to come back in. Because do we know for sure that it is going to be down to final seven?
I don't think they've ever confirmed that.
No, I'm just operating under the assumption that we're going to see somebody get voted off this week, and then the finale is going to start with somebody coming back into the game, and they'll have to get through two votes back in the game.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is so much better than if somebody came back at the final five and they only had, with four people left, making it a new final five, and they only had to win one challenge before the fire making. That's what I was really scared of before the season started. But with the amount of episodes left, I think it's going to be coming back in with five, making it a new final six.
We'll see. I mean, with Ozzy, he came back in. It got down to four and then it came back to five with Ozzy back in the game. But that was with no final four fire making. Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah, I will not like it. A lot if we get down to five people or get down to four people and then bring somebody back and then it's five. They only have to get through one vote before we get to fire making.
Mm-hmm. So then she would know, because someone would come back making it the final six again before she has to, like, oh, you have to play it now. Because if you're going to go final five to final four, then back to final five, then Lauren could be out, you know, use it unnecessarily potentially when she may have been able to use it that next tribal.
Liana, do you have a prediction as to who's going to get voted out this week?
Oh my gosh. I have no idea what is happening in terms of the future of this game. Like, so I do this thing, which is really fun every Survivor season, called Fun Office Pools, where we try to predict who's going to go each week. I know I'm a nerd and I just have no sense of what is going on, because I think it was Jeff Probst said at the beginning of the season, like, this is going to be like a murder mystery. And so I'm like, this is what does that mean in terms of editing? I think what it means is that I have no clue what's going on, which means I should never join you guys on Renap to solve a murder, because I would be terrible at it. But I guess if I had to pick someone, I mean, obviously Rick is the first person that stands out just because he's like, oh, the huge threat. But that's obviously assuming that he doesn't win immunity. So I guess my money would probably be on Rick if I had to pick someone, just because who else am I going to go with?
Yeah, I think Rick has to be out if he doesn't have another idol, or if he doesn't win immunity. I would say, though, just, and again, we've been talking a lot about the edit, the fact that Rick really seems to be the only person left in the game I wouldn't say an obvious winner's edit, but with like a real substantial edit. I think there's a good chance that he does find another idol, or he does win immunity. And I think my guess for the person going out next, for whatever reason, would be Gavin. I think he is seen as a big threat in the game. We sort of saw seeds of a Lauren and Julie relationship forming, where they were talking about the women getting together. That would, of course, include Victoria and Aurora. So I think that Gavin could be potentially in trouble if Devins were to win immunity or find an idol.
I think Rick Devins is going to get voted out, and I think he is going to win his way back in. Ooh. I think he's going to pull the victor here, Liana.
So that's actually really interesting, because I was thinking about the people who are out on the edge. They have no shot, right, at the reward challenges, where at least if you're in the game, you have some shot at reward challenges. And I don't know, I'd have to go back and look and see if Rick has won some, but you're theoretically getting more nutrients potentially than the people that are out on the edge. So the least amount of time you spend out there, maybe the better chance you have of getting back into the game.
Yeah, maybe that's why we're not seeing it that much, because Joe and Chris Underwood are just like catching like a million fish and stingray, and it's like a real like smorgasbord out there.
Yeah, maybe. I think also, I don't know who I would pick out of the Edge of Extinction cast members, unless it's like a quick revolving door type situation that is really standing out as, oh yeah, this person is definitely going to come back in.
And if it's not Rick, I think whoever gets voted out this week, I think, is going to come back into the game, because I don't have a good feeling about anybody that's on the Edge of Extinction that is going to come back in and win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. There actually was another thing I wanted to talk about, and talking about Rick made me think of this. Okay, was Jeff, I know Jeff is not always the smoothest when it comes to interacting with the loved ones, but I felt like he was particularly awkward this go round.
Yes,
I don't know if that was like just me.
Just this go round?
Well, that's what I thought. I was like, oh, the episode is called Awkward. I was like, oh, it's because Jeff Probst is super awkward interacting with the loved ones. There was the whole thing with Lauren and her dad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to know what you whispered in your dad's ear. And then Rick with his wife, like, does it trigger you when she brings up your son and he doesn't know where you are? I don't know. There were some weird comments. I thought it was particularly awkward this time.
Yeah, it is like a weird spot where Jeff is like, prying into the like nature of the relationship of, you know, OK, so what's it like being a person who's married? Like, I guess it's fun. You know, it has its ups and downs, you know, like Jordan, what's it like being a son?
I don't even know how to answer that question.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why, because Jeff doesn't want those types of reactions.
I don't know what it's like not to be a son.
Yeah. He really wants to have those DTR conversations on national TV, Liana.
DTR. It's like, okay, how do I get my Emmy this time?
Yeah. That means define the relationship, Jordan.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that a Big Brother thing?
Sometimes. Okay. All right. Before we get into talking about social media, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors here today, and those are our friends over at OpenFit is bringing you something that makes it even easier to never miss a sweat session. Hey, want to lose that dad bod like Rick Devins and not have to go on Survivor? You could lose the commute to the gym and let the workouts come to you with OpenFit. They take all of the complexity out of losing weight and getting fit. And it's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room or your garage, in my case, in as little as 10 minutes a day. Everybody's bodies are different, and OpenFit gets that, which is why they have personalized it to your needs and custom-tailored original content with amazing trainers and classes. OpenFit classes are led by some of the most effective and engaging trainers in the world. It's super simple. Forget all the complexity and stress around getting fit, and just press play and work out on your schedule with sessions like 600 seconds with celebrity trainer Devin Wiggins to pack in the fat burning, muscle building and body sculpting benefits of a much longer session into a fraction of the time. It's accessible anywhere, anytime, view on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, and Roku, all great options for Jordan Kalish as he's traveling from social gathering to social gathering. Results that you can see. You could lose up to 15 pounds in just the first 30 days, flatten your abs, shape your body, and look and feel great. It's a great way to avoid going to the gym. Just taking that commute out of going back and forth to the gym is a great way to fit this into your schedule. OpenFit is changing the way people work out, and with my code Rob, you can join me on a fitness journey personalized just for you. Again, use my code Rob and start using OpenFit for your journey to a healthier life. Right now, during the OpenFit 30-day challenge, our listeners get an extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit. You could lose up to 15 pounds in 30 days when you text the word Rob to 30 30 30. Again, full access to OpenFit, all the workouts and nutritional information totally free. Again, just text Rob to 30 30 30. Standard message and data rates may apply. Okay, let's get into talking about the week in Survivor social media, and let's transition over to talking about that with the help of the great Jacob Seeger Weinstein.
Tweets, baby, tweets. They outlast the heavens. They'll be around forever, like Rick Devins.
Yes. Tweets. Okay. Thank you, Jacob. Okay. All right. Let's talk about what's going on Survivor social media. And of course, Survivor social media got a little slower. It does seem like that the current contestants have a little bit slowed down with everything that they were saying about the show, Liana.
I wonder why that could be. Let me put on my tinfoil hat. I don't know.
With the exception of War Dog, who is the same as ever. Okay, let's see what's going on here. So a lot of reactions from the survivors about the family visit. Davey Rickenbacker was very proud of a big salute to my boy Mr. Ron Clark for not only his time on Survivor CBS, but for all that he does for youth here in Atlanta with the Ron Clark Academy. Proud of you, mate. Good luck getting back in. So count Davey as a Ron Clark fan.
I wonder if Davey counts as one of my friends.
These are my friends.
Friends.
Do you think Ron Clark, what do you think Ron Clark's role in the Ron Clark Academy is?
I have no idea.
He definitely doesn't still teach, does he?
Yeah, I have no idea what goes on there.
Yeah, we're debating this on the B&B. Like, what exactly does he do? What exactly would you say you do here?
I feel like he does everything. Like, he could be like the Willy Wonka where he's like more of the tour guide, but he could also, I could see him doing every job from like lunch lady to like emceeing the school shows. Like I think he does everything besides teach at the school.
So you think that people win a ticket to go visit the Ron Clark Academy and then he takes them through and loses some people along the way?
A lot of teachers goes there for training, but yeah, you know,
so they all come back.
They all come back somehow. They escape. But yeah, I mean, look, teachers do go there, and the Willy Wonka story, it's like Survivor. You lose people along the way and they go to the edge.
Yeah, Survivor, it's really like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
It kind of is. And at the end, you win a lot of money.
Yeah, just like a pinball machine, just like Willy Wonka. It's all the same.
All right. Let's talk about Jacob Derwin tweeted, man, I should really be paying more attention to this season.
Same. Maybe he's like, who are these other people? We don't know either. Mm-hmm. You are not alone.
Yeah. Stephen Fishback tweeted, this is more pertaining to The Amazing Race. I didn't go on The Amazing Race because it interfered with my wedding, conclusively proving that I'm a better husband than Gavin. Shots fired.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Also, by the way, shout out to your Instagram takeover.
Oh, thank you,
Rob.
Thank you.
That was lovely. My personal favorite one was the how to save money on your honeymoon.
Oh, you like that?
I loved that one. Gonna make what thought about the Ron Clark rule of the week? We went with something else, but yeah, I thought that was lovely.
Yeah, that's a good move. It's a good move of, you know, just like have like an engagement like around the time like when Survivor casting is happening and then mm-hmm. set that up. And then it could go either way because one, if you have cold feet, then you have a good excuse to get out of getting married. And then two, you know, you'd have the, you know, the quick wedding, save some money and then save more money on the honeymoon.
Yeah, exactly. I think it totally makes sense. But also, you know what? I will say, like, shout out to Steven. It was a smart call that you guys didn't end up going because otherwise he wouldn't have been able to get married on June 9th.
Yes.
Which is like my personal favorite date, of course, of all time, especially to get married. I think is really lovely. So
Steven thanked me recently for informing him that his anniversary was June 9th and that that he will never not think about that.
Good, as he should.
Speaking of weddings, Randy Bailey said, if I ever get married, there is no question I will get divorced. I want at Aurora McCreary to be my divorce lawyer. I love the way she thinks.
That's what you should do. Get divorced and go on Survivor. Instead, then
it's Aurora- like Kellen.
Yeah, right. It's all part of your story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would also want Aurora as my lawyer. Like, that's who I should have used. I mean, we didn't end up getting lawyers for the divorce because it was amicable. But like me and my ex-husband, like if we had been going at it, Aurora is definitely the lawyer that I would want. She, although she does have, she does tend to like let all the information out. Like, I would worry if there was
right.
something we were trying to keep, you know, like between us, she would just say it anyway.
Yeah, I feel like that one of her things this season is that they have talked about her like, well, you never know if she's going to let the cat out of the bag at Tribal Council. This time we saw her going through said bag.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
So Aurora also tweeted about how she was messing with her roommate. When your roommate complains too much about picking up your Amazon boxes, there's only one thing to do. Purchase a 35-pound weight and now patiently wait until they text you asking WTF you ordered and they almost pulled their back out.
Okay, never mind. I take back what I said about having Aurora as my lawyer. That's intense. Maybe that's like just part of her MO is like, oh yeah, you go through people's Amazon packages, so you go through people's bags. Like, it's not awkward. I just did it.
Okay, Jeff Pittman at True Dork Times had a great fact. He tweeted out, dude, Reem has now tied Matt Elrod for the most non-game Exile, Redemption, or Edge of Extinction days played and will take sole possession of the number one spot in the next episode.
Nice.
Good for Reem. I would also want to know about confessional counts. Like, Reem must have by far the most confessionals of someone not actually in the regular game of Survivor.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. If we were going to look at the confessional count for the season, I bet she's in the top eight.
Yeah.
She would have to be.
Like,
I think she's probably doing better
thing?
Than that.
You think so? Like, yeah.
Sad
I mean, I think she's gotten the only people who I could think that have definitely gotten more than her. Obviously, Devins. I think David Wright has probably gotten more confessionals than she has. I would say Kelly Wentworth has gotten more confessionals. But besides that, is there anyone else you could think of who definitely has more confessionals than Reem?
Okay. Just
a war dog. War dog.
Wrong.
I'm not sure how much this is updated. Of the current people in the game, Rick is leading the way by a lot. He has 41 confessionals on the season. And then the rest of the people in the game are Julie has 23. Lauren has 18. Oh. Gavin has 18. Victoria has 18. Aurora has 11. Reem has more than one of the people that are still active in the game.
Oh, so okay. I guess it's not as many. I think her confessionals are just more memorable than other people's.
Mm-hmm. She might get also a lot of content that's not necessarily confessionals.
But listen, so she has 14 confessionals for the season, which is more than Julia, Chris, Joe, Eric, and Aurora. So not bad for being the first boot.
Yeah, exactly. Considering, remember, she was the first boot of the season.
So I don't even know who those people are that you just mentioned.
Okay. All right. All right. So let me see if there's any other ones. There's a lot of, I feel like, kneecap sucking going on between survivors and the other. You feel like either the survivors are being horrible to each other on social media, or a lot of like kneecap sucking of like,
they need
oh.
a happy medium. They need to be like Liana with her Rick Devins take, just somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Here's a conversation between a couple of survivors. Jessica Lewis tweeted about you don't even really smell bad from Carly, a compliment that is only truly acceptable on Survivor. Elizabeth Olsen responded, how in the world did Gavin make it that far and not smell like crap? Maybe he was sponsored by a deodorant and then he is testing a new slogan last 39 days. Gavin. Yes.
Well, yeah, that would be interesting. Like, you'd be like, oh, and that's how they paid for their wedding. It was all a sponsorship deal.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Gavin, and I was on a Survivor Island for a bunch of days, and my wife said I didn't even smell that bad.
Yeah, it just pops off the screen. That's good.
Yeah, Gavin says it's got to be the pineapple shirt. It's magic.
Magic pineapple shirt.
Yes. And then Lyrsa came in to set the record straight. She doesn't want to hear about a magic pineapple shirt.
Excuse me?
She said, we all smell like moldy cheese and a porta potty.
Oh, I prefer to think of the magic pineapple shirt. Like, I'm just going to pretend that the last part didn't happen. I like that she knows what that smells like, though. Like, it's gonna be the
maybe
smell
each
of
pineapple
choice.
maybe each pineapple on the shirt is like an air freshener, and it's just like they're like little pins that are hanging off the shirt and not just fabric. I think that's possible.
It's like sewn in,
maybe. Yeah. Maybe so it's like when you go to like the car wash there's like a bunch of pineapple air fresheners in that pineapple shirt.
Yeah, that's what it's made out of.
Okay, Julie Rosenberg tweeted, wouldn't have been able to have this incredible experience without having him stand beside me in life. No one is more supportive or a bigger cheerleader of your dreams and accomplishments than he is. Thank you, Mark. And she had a picture of her with her husband, Mark, which actually leads me back into a voicemail from the Bryce podcast that we didn't get to. Here is a question that is from Eric.
Hey, Bryce. This is Eric from Midlothian, Virginia. I have a question. I haven't heard anybody talk about this. Am I crazy? Does Julie's husband look maybe a little bit like Rob, or at least a cosplayer trying to be Rob? Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Now, I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either.
See it. I also get a thing where it doesn't matter who the person is if they're wearing a plaid shirt that I get that's sent to me of like, hey, is this you? Like as like a joke.
Yeah, I think it's the combination of the plaid shirt and then at least the picture that I'm looking at right now. His hair kind of like poofing up in the middle a little bit, like it's a little bit longer. That might be it, but at least facial feature wise, I can't say I see it.
Yeah, I don't see it at all. I have a theory on this, Rob, because I think I've seen a lot in like the RHAP Facebook group and the patron group. There have been a lot of posts over the years where people are like, oh, this person is a Rob doppelganger. I think that we spend so much time listening to the podcast that you're just like in our, you're in our heads, and,
yes,
and everyone who might have
rent
like
free.
One tiny thing that looks like you, yeah, rent free in our heads.
I think maybe just nobody knows what I look like.
That's also possible.
They only know what I sound like. No, I never get, oh, this person sounds like Rob Cesternino. Yeah.
I want to go back to Julie's comment though, which,
yes,
okay, that's sweet, adorable, love it,
Dorbs,
whatever, Julie. Ugh, the best content that Julie has posted on Twitter was, there is a video, she tweeted this out, of Mark, her husband, decking one of their kids into the sand.
What?
Yeah, it's a
what
tweet
do you mean decking
from,
like punching?
He like, hold on, I'm looking at it right now. I'll send it to you. They're racing on the beach, and he just like pushes the kid over.
Mm-hmm.
The hashtag is hashtag bad parenting. And then the kid cries and stuff. I just watched the beginning where the kid gets knocked over. But then she does this editing where she like slows it down in slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone is interested in some like not sweet,
if I play the
content,
audio of it, is it does it sound like anything?
I think it just sounds like the beach. So this really goes well on an audio podcast. So.
Okay. All right. So check Julie's Twitter for that.
I'll retweet it.
Yes. And hopefully everybody's able to catch their breath in that video.
Julie, either laughing or crying.
Hyperventilating.
This was another sound clip that I didn't get to play from the episode. This was when Rick Devins was cheering everybody on.
You guys are doing good.
Well.
You guys are doing well.
Yeah, Aurora being a real Stephen Fishback out there.
Real status.
I don't want to paraphrase anybody, but yeah, not doing good. You're doing well. I think it was a quote from 30 Rock where it was like, Superman does good, you're doing well.
Yes.
And that's how I remember it. Thank
yes.
you, TV.
Thank you, Twofer, right?
Yeah, it was like Twofer and who's he having a conversation with? Well, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Then Lauren O'Connell at Lolly_Alexandra. Of course,
is that growing on you, Rob?
Yes, it's a strong Twitter handle. She tweeted out, just showed my dad a tweet that says, Lauren's dad is a daddy. And my dad, for real, looked at me confused and said, well, of course I am. She's my daughter. And then she has an upside down smiley emoji and then a like straight line smile emoji.
Oh, that's so wholesome. Well, Lauren's dad, do I have a calendar for you?
Yes.
We have some concepts to introduce you to.
And then, Lauren mentioned that she showed her dad the Lauren's dad is a daddy tweet. And then it was revealed that our own Edward Morris was the person who tweeted Lauren's dad is a daddy.
Oops.
That's so perfect. That's so Edmo. Oh, of course it was.
Okay.
You do you, Edmo.
All right. Liana, so this past week, we mentioned I was on the Survivor Instagram takeover, and I had a lot of fun doing that, even if not everybody at my house did, where I was filming stupid videos all night. But I also recorded a couple of other videos that ended up being shared through the various Survivor social media platforms, including a video which was shared to the Survivor Facebook page, Liana. And so I had to answer a question about whether or not I would go to Extinction Island if I was voted out of the game on Survivor. So let me just share that clip that I recorded right here in the studio. Here is me on the Survivor Facebook page.
Cesternino here, and if I had the choice between when I get voted out of the game, going to the edge of extinction, or going home, I think I would go to the edge of extinction because it looks pretty easy. Dude, are you even kidding me right now? That are you joking? The edge of extinction is way tougher than you because you're lame.
Okay. All right. So that was the video. That was courtesy of the Ream puppet. Also, has been a big success in addition to my podcasting. Okay. So, Liana, I know that you typically get to play the casual corner over on the RHAP B&B with Mike. So, courtesy of the great Jason Curtis Rivera, I have a game for you, which is I have five comments from Facebook. Four are from people responding to this video, and one is from the Rob Has a Podcast patron group.
Okay. Okay. So I have to identify which is the one from the patron group.
Yes. Which is the comment from the patron group? Okay.
Okay. I'm about to insult the patron that made that comment.
All right.
If I identify it correctly.
All right. Here we go. Number one, this guy isn't the least bit familiar to me, and I have watched every season.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Number two, who is that on the stick? Number three, I have no memory of him, and I've been watching since Survivor began. Number four, get a job. And number five, Rob looks like Zachary Quinto.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I do love the inclusion. Obviously, one of them has to be real of the I don't recognize this guy and I've watched every season. That
you don't
is
look
pretty
like Zachary
common.
Quinto.
That is your takeaway from this, Jordan? Okay, let's work through this. So that the comment of like I've seen every season, so like this can't be factual, is like totally a thing that happens all the time. So I think at least one of those is real,
right? that is a comment. A lot of the Survivor Facebook page comments start with I've seen every season and.
Yes, exactly.
A lot of fansplaining going on over there.
Yeah, because they've seen every season. So, you know. Okay, so then the other question, the other ones were about Zachary Quinto, apparently, that you look like. Now, does he look like Mark is, I think, the other question in this, like, Venn diagram.
No, in the corollary. People look alike. They're just guys. Yeah. Like, they're all guys. That's it.
Zachary Quinto known for wearing plaid shirts? Is like that something
so.
That we need to
no.
take into account? I could see that comment because sometimes you get those like weird. Okay, I think that one's real. And then what were the other two?
Who is this on the stick and get a job?
Okay, I think the get a job one is real. That also sounds like the casuals. So now I just have to decide if who's that on the stick? That sounds like that could be someone trolling because I think whoever commented on this is definitely a troll. I don't know who it might be. Okay, I think I'm going to go with my gut. I'm going to go with who is that on the stick?
Okay, and that is right. And that is the aforementioned Edward Morris. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was right. This is Troll Edmo. He was one of the ones. So I did. Okay. So to reset this on the RHAP B&B a couple weeks back, I wanted to do like a Family Feud style game where I would ask questions and then pull like the number of responses. I got like four total responses and they were all, like one real response, just asking a question. The rest were just patrons or like people from the RHAP community seeing my comment. And Edmo was one of them. That makes sense that he's there.
Yes. I would like to thank the people that responded to the get a job comment with thank you Michael who responded it's funny because this is literally his job.
Maybe they were saying get a new job.
Yeah, maybe it's like you stink at this job, find a different occupation.
Right. Like, I don't know. But you know, Puppet Master might not be.
I'm the Puppet Master.
That's right. Okay, Ron, sorry.
I'm the one holding all the sticks with the duct tape to the back of the picture. Okay. All right. Oh, we're going to get into Jordan's big quiz coming up next. But first, let me thank our other sponsor here today on the podcast. Okay. Those are our friends over at Joybird Furniture. Does your furniture bring you joy? Or are you missing a couch or a chair that says, this is my home? And not in a like Pee-wee's Playhouse sort of way where they actually had talking furniture. You want a haven, a place that feels uniquely you. And Joybird empowers you to create the furniture and space that brings you joy. And Joybird is going to allow you to get that one-of-a-kind of furniture crafted to your unique taste. Turn your ideas into reality with hundreds of styles and options in the same way that Reem has made the Edge of Extinction into her home. That's what Joybird Furniture is going to do for you. From rich, buttery leather to the plushest velvet you've ever felt, find the fabric and the texture that's right for you. Joybird offers a range of kid and pet friendly upholstery options so that your creations can stand the test of time. They've got a free personal design consultant to help you nail down the perfect design of the quality handcrafted furniture from Joybird. Each piece is made by hand using care and precision, using high quality hardwood and responsibly sourced materials to fit your exact specifications with a limited lifetime warranty. Take the party outside with their unique outdoor collection, and they've got a 365-day home trial so you can skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home. Sit on it, sleep on it, and break it in if you don't love your Joybird. Return for a full refund. They've got hassle-free in-home delivery as well and free returns within 2 weeks of delivery. That Nicole and I got to try out the Elliot chair, which is also the name of my son's nemesis from his school. But we don't like Elliot in Anthony's class, but we do love the Elliot chair from Joybird. See how Joybird can help you design your dream space. Find your joy today at joybird.com/Rob. Create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/Rob. Go to joybird.com/Rob and receive an exclusive offer of 25% off your first order today when you use the promo code Rob. Okay. All right. Let's talk about Twish.
Twish.
Yes. Okay.
Talking about Twish. And Liana, I don't. So we are, you are here to potentially make some history today because there are two-time winners in the history of this quiz. It is you, and it is Mary Kwiatkowski, Frail Mary. But Frail Mary is not so happy that you are here to break the tie today. She thinks that you are trying to one up her, and she's not so pleased.
So is this a real rivalry or is this something that you're just making up, Jordan? Because I have no idea.
Are you like the Vince McMahon of podcasting?
I have a real statement from Mary Kwiatkowski. She says, I have taken your spot on BB Can Saturday updates and I'm taking your throne on Twish. You may be a scientist, but does your dad joggle?
Yes. Good question.
And then she goes on to refer to her dad as Frail Daddy.
Is this real?
This is real. This is a real quote.
Is this fan fiction?
I think this is fan fiction.
No, it's not fan fiction. I will say that I was complicit in this. I did reach out to Mary for a comment. She had no idea that you were going to be the guest on Twitch this week. I sort of coaxed this out of her. But yeah, she has. You have ops. You have ops, Liana.
Wait. So you asked her for a comment about
I asked her to talk some trash, and she did.
Oh, she was talking trash. Oh, okay.
She was talking trash. Yeah.
What did she say about my dad?
No, she said you may be a scientist, but does your dad joggle? Her dad joggles apparently, which is like jogging and running and juggling. I don't know. Jogging and juggling.
Yeah, jogging.
She has some sort of like world
record. He's not ruggling.
Joggle. Yeah, you're right.
I believe he has two Guinness Book of World Records for joggling.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was she's giving you credit for being a scientist but saying that your dad doesn't joggle.
These are my friends.
They're not my friends.
I don't think this is like I think the fact that I was the one who had to like messaged her like 10 minutes before we started recording this. I don't think she really has too much beef with you, but she wants the Tide crown. She wants to still be the Tide winningest player in Twitch history.
This is like the Elliot Anthony rivalry.
Yes,
it is.
Yes.
Completely contrived by me, but okay. Whatever. What
are you Okay. All right. We spent enough time on this. Okay.
Made up drama. So, Jordan.
Liana, you know the rules. We're not going to go over the rules. We didn't do it last week with AJ. You've been on. This is your third time here. So I'm going to give you the four multiple choice question categories. The categories that we have today are 5, 6, 7, and 8.
What?
Liana, you choose first.
I just have what? Are you serious? Okay, I actually do have one clarification question. I have smart devices, and I'm wondering if I'm allowed to still use them. I'm like really into apparently government surveillance. I have both a Google and Alexa.
Yes,
so I have
you
them both
use,
here.
That's
oh, no,
good.
It
you
me.
Can use it. Yes, that means you're not breaking any rules. You're good. You're good
for one of your multiple choice questions. You can use it. Yes.
What I would like is I wish that I could turn my Apple. Portable device. I don't like to say the name because I don't want to set people's things off. I wish I had Ream voice.
Yes.
Well, that I did not get what you were talking about. I cannot, dude. Like, listen, dude. I don't even know who that contact is.
Do you want to set an alarm? I didn't hear that. You're gonna have to repeat it. Yeah, I would pay money for that.
Okay. All right.
Oh, so
5, 6, 7, 8.
Right.
5, 6,
Schlemiel. Schlemazel.
What do we appreciate?
6.
Okay, so we're going to go to Survivor Kagayan. Havoc to Reek is the name of the episode, not Reek, R-E-E-K, like Game of Thrones, from May 7, 2014, 5 years ago Tuesday. At the Kagayan Final 6, which two players do Spencer and Tasha attempt to split the votes between?
Okay, so this was, okay, I'll have to rethink about this. So this was, I'm pretty sure, okay, so Spencer and Tasha decided to split the votes between two of the players, and I have to decide two. So I'm not going to get the multiple choice because I know who was there. So I think one of them is Tony. I think it was Tony and Trish.
Tony and Trish is correct. You get 2 points there. Very, very good job. Yeah. So
Spencer didn't
we
get
and
the
Tasha
multiple choice
thought,
on that?
No. They thought they potentially had Cass and Wu voting with them. Cass and Wu ended up voting with Tony and Trish for Tasha here at the final six. Spencer and Tasha did cast one vote each. I believe Tasha voted for Trish and Spencer voted for Tony, but the plan did not work and Tasha was voted out. Very good job here. This is when they had Wu on
Frail Mary
the reward
shaking.
Challenge. Yeah, Frail Mary is very nervous right here. Wu was on the reward challenge with them. They tried strategizing with him. Strategizing with Wu doesn't necessarily always work out. And Liana, you have a 2-0 lead. Rob, you have you can choose either 5, 7, or 8.
Bryce had a great story about Wu on the feedback show.
Oh, that was so... that was really good.
I'll take 8.
8. We're going to go to Heroes versus Villains, a sinking ship from May 6, 2010, 9 years ago Monday. At the final 8 immunity challenge, Jeff reads a clue to the whole tribe that an idol is hidden at their camp. Who ends up finding this idol?
Could you repeat the question again?
Sure. This is Heroes versus Villains. At the final 8 immunity challenge, Jeff reads a clue to the whole tribe that an idol is hidden at their camp. Who ends up finding this idol?
Okay. I think I know who it is, but I will do the multiple choice because I don't want to potentially find myself in a 3-0 hole if I'm wrong.
All right, so going for 1 point, no steal here. We have A, Parvati, B, Rupert, C, Russell Hance, D, Sandra.
Yeah, Sandra was going to be my guess.
Sandra is correct. So you get a point there. This was a pretty important idol find, not because the idol ended up doing all that much. Sandra did play it at the final five, but it didn't turn it. She didn't really need to. She didn't get the votes. However, Rupert was able to hide, I believe it was a rock in his pants to pretend he had an idol. Mm-hmm. And the vote split was then between Colby and Candace. So Rupert potentially got himself a little bit further in the game by
a lot of people thought that Rupert had rocks in his pants running the Amazing Race this season.
It would explain a lot.
Yes.
So, Liana, you have a 2-1 lead, and you can choose either 5 or 7.
No, 9. Okay, so I'm going to go with 5.
I see why you chose 6 first now. Okay, 5. We are going to Survivor Exile Island. Call the Wambulance from May 11th, 2006, 13 years ago Saturday. In a lead-up to Terry Dietz making a call to the Wambulance later in this episode, who does he snap at for placing their torch in front of his path, allegedly causing him to trip in the dark after the final 5 tribal council?
Oh, okay. So I know this one because this is by my favorite season. I love Suri. I kind of want to try one of my assisted devices. Is that allowed? Can I just see if they know that?
Yeah, you could see it.
Okay, I wanted to see. Okay, Google. Who did
Why don't you
Terry
Suri Fields?
Never mind. Okay.
Biography.com. They say he played 2 seasons with the Rams before becoming an NFL journeyman.
I thought we were on to something for a second.
About? Okay, Google. Never mind.
Who are they talking
That's
about?
Done. I have no idea. Okay, this is Suri. I know this one.
It is Suri. And you get another 2 points here. You have a commanding
no, Google.
4-1
I
lead.
I unplugged it. Okay.
Oh, did it react to you saying Suri?
I think it knew. I don't know. These are terrifying.
Call the Wambulance.
Mm-hmm.
4-1 lead. Rob, you're in a little bit of trouble here, but you still
Reem,
have another
call
question.
Call me a Wambulance.
Definitely not over.
Listen, dude. You don't have that set up.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to go to Worlds Apart for this last question. Holding on for dear life from May 6, 2015, 4 years ago Monday. At the Worlds Apart Final 7, eventual winner Mike Holloway played an idol, negating 4 votes against him. Recent RHAP guest Carolyn Rivera famously joined Mike in voting for Tyler, who went home at this tribal. Who was the one other person who voted with Mike and Carolyn for Tyler?
Who was the one other person who voted with Mike and Carolyn for Tyler? You know, I kind of feel like I need to nail this one if I'm going to stay in this one, if Liana's at 4. Let's see. I think that if you say the multiple choices, I think that's going to basically eliminate everybody else that's possible. So can you read the question one more time?
Sure. At the Worlds Apart Final 7, eventual winner Mike Holloway played an idol, negating 4 votes against him. Recent RHAP guest Carolyn Rivera famously joined Mike in voting for Tyler, who went home at this tribal. Who was the one other person who voted with Mike and Carolyn for Tyler?
Okay. So the only other options are Sierra Dawn Thomas, Will, Rodney, or Dan. I will say that it was fan favorite Sierra Dawn Thomas.
FFSDT Anglem is correct. You get 2 points there, and it is a lot closer now. It's Liana, you have a 4-3 lead going into the death match. Rob is going to go first in this death match since Liana's in the lead. The game is called 5th, 6th, or 7th. The game will start with one player, that's going to be Rob, picking a random number between 1 and 8 to decide the order. I will give you a player and a season, and you must tell me if that person came in 5th, 6th, or 7th. 4 answers will be given during this round, and if you're incorrect, you may not gain any more points unless we go to a tiebreaker. Therefore, if you're incorrect in your first response, you open the door for your opponent to gain 3 points in this round. If there's a tie, we will continue. So Rob, choose a number between 1 and 8 to start the game.
Okay, I'll choose 6.
Okay, so we are going to go to Survivor Token Chains. This is the Debbie Beebe. Did she come in 5th, 6th, or 7th?
Okay. I know she didn't come in 5th. I am trying to think. Who else is there? I'm. I know this is not a 3-hour podcast, so I am going to say that she came in sixth.
Six is correct. So you get a point there. We are tied 4-4. Yeah, you knew that Coach was the fifth place. WBB was the one out right before Coach. So
yeah,
we
and then tied Sierra was seven, right?
Sierra was
not
yes,
fan favorite. Sierra,
other Sierra,
whatever her name is. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And we have Liana. You're gonna get
Sierra Reed. Is that her name?
Sierra Reed.
That sounds
yes,
right. Yeah.
We're gonna go to Marquesas. Rob the General DeCanio.
Okay, so I'm just going to work backwards. So, Rock Draw, Pascal, 4. I think, Coconut Chop Strategy, stick in my head. I think he was 6th?
6 is
six,
correct.
Yes. Okay, so definitive.
He was the last remaining member of that Road to 4 alliance. The final five was, of course, Nalia, Vesepia, Sean, Pascal, and Kathy. So he was the last one out before those five had to eat each other. So you get a point there. It's 5-4. Rob, you need to get this one right.
Okay.
And you're going to get, this is a great one. Survivor Fiji, Stacey Kimball.
Boy. So, okay. Just working. So I know that. So that she's not in the final three, and then does Yao Man get to the final four? And I feel like that. Boo is there also. So they got the three of them. Those three. And I don't feel great about this one. I'll say that she is 6th.
6. You should feel great. You get the point there. We are tied 5-5. Ooh. Liana, you could win the game here. If not, we will continue. And we are going to go to Survivor Palau. Greg Carey. Greg with 3 Gs. What place did Greg Carey come in Palau?
Oh, okay. So yeah, the strategy is like, okay, who was the final two? Who was the final three? And then try to see if I can remember what. Oh God, I think Stefano Lagrosso went out right before him, and I think she went out at 7, maybe. Okay, I'm gonna say 6. 6.
Okay, for the win, you're saying 6. The final 5 in this game was Tom, Ian, Katie, Karen, and Jen Lyon. Yes, Greg Carey was 6. So you get the point here, and one of your favorite 2 digits, you win by a score of 6-5.
Wow.
Wow.
Great job on that game.
Hey.
That was really close.
It's hard to win when Liana throws a perfect game.
Yeah, see? That was. Is that? I don't know if that is that the first perfect game. I guess an actual perfect game. It's as good as you could have got.
If I get
the
5 most weeks, I'm going to win.
Usually, yeah. I mean, I guess a real perfect game would be if Rob were to get his two questions wrong without hearing the multiple choice, and Liana stole both questions. But that's really hard to do. That's like dependent on the other player. But yeah, this is the best you could do without Rob letting you steal a point.
No, I think you're definitely better than Frail Mary at this.
Those are fighting words.
I like that. Yeah, Rob will actually do my rivalry for me. I honestly, though, I didn't know the world's apart question, so I got lucky with the Panama one. Like, I know Panama like the back of my hand. So that was. But you know, yeah. Thank you.
That's
You're welcome.
Game.
I'm awesome.
3-time winner. First 3-time winner in Twitch history. Yeah. In Twitchery.
Boy, I should have trusted my gut and just said Sandra on the first chance.
Yeah, we would have still been tied.
That was the difference.
That was the difference.
Liana, we already found out a long time ago. I can't say I remember who it was, but we found out who the first survivor you followed on Twitter was. Who's the most recent survivor you followed on Twitter? Because we've done this game with you already.
Yeah, so I do embarrassingly remember the first survivor I followed. It was the Mayo Jar, Nick Majorano.
Okay. I feel like you're not the only one who's had that as their answer.
But no, I have no idea who the most recent one, which you'd think I'd remember.
Mm.
Well, I think if I were to review this latest follow, I would give it 5 stars. Ron Clark. Ron Clark is your most recent Survivor Twitter follow.
Oh, that was...
War Dog is the second most recent.
These are my friends.
I really liked it. I want to know his friends.
Are you standing the King Cake Baby also?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've been
Come
standing
on.
The King Cake Baby for, I think, longer than Robin.
I was part of my conditions on being on that podcast, and Renap was like, I need to have some sort of like reason for caring what the outcome is. Like, I can't just make those two stand something crazy. So I'm definitely part of the story.
Yes.
But yeah, I followed Ron Clark because he tweeted that he was going to be re-releasing The Essential 55 Rules, his book that
perfect.
He wrote. And I was like, perfect. So let's hook up and I'll give you my rules.
Whoa.
And, you know, I mean... Well, as long as Ron's husband is also there, but and then that will be the addendum to the Ron Clark rules. I thought it was a really good cross promotional thing we could do.
Is that why he's re-releasing? Because he has all these new rules now?
Yeah, by us.
Or is it because he's on a very popular TV show and he thinks he's going to sell more books?
Yeah. So Liana is going to be joining us again on Rob McKeveny's podcast this weekend to help us out with Win Shut Up Tim's money.
That's right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I haven't received the format or the questions.
If you've
or
gotten enough
yet, so.
Fun quizzes this weekend, Liana, we got some more.
I'm always here for more quizzes. Bring it on. Although I think I get to host this one, right? So I don't have to answer any questions.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
You're pretty good with answering the questions. I don't know if you should complain about that.
Liana, I've got an out of context Rick Devins quote for you. Okay.
All right. Let's do it.
I finally reach for the gap and I'm just feeling, and I feel something solid.
Very out of context.
Oh, yes. Well, now, was that him during his time on the edge of extinction when he was sleeping in the shelter next to Chris Underwood? Or was that him searching for the idol? Honestly, it could be either one. I don't know.
I wish he had said La Cheeserie when he found the idol again, but I think he didn't want to wake anyone up.
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay. Start breaking Rick Devins news
Rick
up there.
Devins. Yeah.
All right. Well, what a great this week in Survivor. Liana, thank you so much. Congratulations on your big win. Really, I can't remember. I'm sure it's happened before, but there's not too many times where people got every single question that they were asked right. Maybe what Jenny Autumn just got her 2 questions right, and then we didn't have to play the bonus round.
Yes, and I think that was the first time that's happened to you.
Yes.
You've done that to other people, but I think that was the first time that's happened to you. So yeah, a lot of people making history on the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Okay. I'm very much down for coming in later in the season when there's less people left and less things I have to remember. So I'm like very much on board for that.
Okay. All right. Well, great job. Be sure to listen to Liana on the RHAP B&B. Liana, anything else that you're working on?
So in addition to the RHAP B&B and then of course guesting on Renap this week, we have RuPaul's Drag Race coverage that is going on. So ordinarily it's Mike Bloom, myself, and Brent Walgamont all getting together to talk about season 11, which is going on right now. Mike will be out this week, and so we're sort of scrambling a little bit to find a guest host, or it might just be Brent and I.
What about Jordan Kalish?
Check that out. Yeah, hey Jordan, you want to come on and talk some Drag Race?
Do you allow people who have never seen an episode of the show? I'll come in with a fresh perspective. It'll be a cultural awakening for me, I think.
We'll do the whole episode will be a casuals corner with you, Jordan, guesting for us. But yeah, it's going to be fun. There was a crazy episode this past week and some like serious rigotry potentially. The internet is up in arms and I'm actually really excited to break it all down.
Okay. All right. And of course, you could follow Jordan Kalish on social media as well. Jordan, what do we have coming up next week on This Week in Survivor?
We have another return guest, someone who is looking to get into the This Week in Survivor history, Mount Rushmore, with Shannon Gates. Shannon Gates will be the guest.
All right. So a jam-packed week coming up on the podcast again, of course, all this podcasting, all this nonsense made possible by the many patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. To find out more about everything that we're doing, get our patron only podcast feed and become part of our Rob's Podcast patron community, head on over to robhasawebsite.com/
patron, be sure to follow the great Liana Boris on Twitter as well. That she is the one with the king cake baby in her header at Liana Boris. And then her, is this your pinned tweet of Julie's husband pushing the kid down? Or no, this is your top tweet?
Just my top tweet. I retweeted it. So
survivors ready? Go!
And they're running and they're running and they're running. And then, yes.
Oh, Jake, I'm so sorry. Oh, God.
Is he okay?
Yeah, he's okay.
That's great.
Yes.
I realize I should probably the Kentucky Derby is tonight, and Julie's husband and her son were running like horses in the Kentucky Derby at the beginning of that video. I was so good with my Tiger Woods prediction. I'm predicting game winner, 6-1 odds. He is like the fourth place in odds. I don't want to guess the favorite. That's boring. So game winner, gonna win the Kentucky Derby tonight. Let's
did
see
it already just happen?
Continue.
Is that what you're doing?
No, I think it starts at like 6:30.
Okay.
To my knowledge, it has not happened yet. I'm going on ESPN.com, and nope, it has not happened yet. So okay. By the time this is posted, it will have happened. So it'll sound pretty fishy if game winner wins. But I mean, it's in his name. They're giving us the answer.
Okay. All right. Liana, sorry to be subjected to Jordan's Kentucky Derby picks on the podcast.
If there was a horse that was 6-9 odds, I think Liana would definitely pick that horse.
Pie pie, Jordan.
All right. Thank you. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care. Bye.